Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a new episode of Flesh Wound Farce. This is the world's first and only combination trivia host and professional wrestling announcer of Chilean descent that currently resides in Southern California. And with me as always on this program, first in the Northern Bay Area is Greg. Say hello to everybody, Greg.
How's it going, everybody? And Ozzy?
Oh, it's going fantastic. As owners of the PS5, we are having a fantastic time.
Oh, yes.
And, of course, Flesh Wound producer Todd. Chilling. So, what's the sign? Why are you sighing? Oh, gamers, nerds.
Is that what's happening?
No, you didn't say it. Your sigh said it. Your sigh said now, all that needed to be said.
Now my kid can't get a PS5 because
of you. Oh, come on.
I'm okay with it. Totally okay.
Can your kid spell PlayStation yet?
No, I was going to hook up.
Exactly.
I was going to hook up the Nintendo for him. OG Nintendo.
See, at least, you know what? That's what you do. A history, build them up to it. So that way, once they get to this level, they're not confused as to what's going on.
Well, damn.
On.
Then maybe I'll start with the ColecoVision. I don't have Atari anymore.
ColecoVision was awesome.
All right. Sorry.
No need to apologize. This week we did watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Now we did, when we initially started this program, and it was Flesh Wound Farce, we did Repossess, Dracula and Young Frankenstein. We are delving into comedies, and I just need to preface this because it seems with John Hughes movies that while they are definitely categorized as comedies, I believe that's a secondary effort. You know, it feels that with John Hughes movies, and when we reviewed Dutch last week, it wasn't directed by him, but the screenplay was by him. And I get this feeling that with John Hughes movies, there's an element of organic humor, but it's all about the story and the setup. So with Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, if by chance you are not familiar, just a quick one-line synopsis is that a man must struggle to travel home for Thanksgiving with a lovable oaf of a shower curtain ring salesman as his only companion. The man, this is referring to Steve Martin, who is a marketing executive who, let's just say things happen. And then the other individual, the lovable oaf, is played by John Candy, which something that, real quick before we jump into this, throughout the entire movie, this character, Del Griffin, or Griffith, I say Griffin because he reminded me so much of Peter Griffin. Like, yeah. I don't know. I tried looking some stuff up to see if I could find it, to see if Peter Griffin was an inspiration, or if Del Griffith was an inspiration for Peter Griffin. But of course, there's the clip where Peter Griffin does the line, "I like me," and afterward, Chris laughs and says, "Movie references." But if you really like look at the small details of what he does, that kind of just makes him kind of annoying. God, like he's like that real life Peter Griffin. I don't know if you guys got that same idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could totally hear that because, like, Peter, there's so many times where you're like, I could see how he thinks that makes sense. But to the rest of us, oh, dear sweet Jesus. So, yeah, no, it was wonderful. Like, you kind of felt bad for him and hated him all at the same time.
It was also fun to see towards the beginning a Kevin Bacon cameo. You actually had some other fun cameos. If you're familiar with Ferris Bueller, you had the dad from Ferris Bueller was in the very beginning. You also had the principal's assistant in there as well. And you even had Ben Stein in there as well. So it was fun to see those.
You left one out, Kevin Bacon, because he did.
Was in Ferris Bueller?
Well, no, just another John Hughes
guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I was specifically
Ferris. Yeah.
With Ferris Bueller because like first the dad, you know.
Yeah.
It got me thinking of that. So when I kept seeing these characters, like, oh yeah, also from here, but
Like a lot of directors, he tend to go back to, you know, people he liked to work with.
That must have been such a fun set.
Yeah.
Like Go ahead.
I didn't have a lot of trivia for you, but I felt this one had to be an early one.
Okay.
The exterior of the airplane, they reused the 747 from Airplane.
Okay, that's funny. That's hilarious. Awesome. Because there is one of the B-roll shots that was, I'm not saying the original shot was from Airplane, but a B-roll shot that was used in Airplane was definitely used in this one as
that's
well.
So
that's hilarious. I got that down in my notes as well. I was hoping I couldn't get a hold of the commentary for this because I want to know how much of this was improvised by John Candy.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, yeah, there's not a commentary. John Hughes has never done but one commentary, and that was on Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And that commentary is hard to find because it was only on the very first press DVD. Everything after and every re-release have some subsequently dropped that commentary. So
wow.
He didn't really like to talk about his movies. I was checking which DVD.
Yeah, I gotta find that.
I got it somewhere too. This is all real quick. John Candy and Steve Martin's both of their favorite movie.
Oh, really? Interesting. Man. I could see why they. You can tell they totally had. They must have had such a fun time making it. But one of the first things that just gave me the idea that there's got to be a lot of improvisation here on Candy's part is when they're sitting after the delayed flight. They're sitting in the terminal like, you know, I'm really sorry about your cab. Can I get you, you know, how about a beer and a hot dog? No, I'm good. Okay. How about just a hot dog? No coffee. He says Lifesaver Slurpee. And started going into that point. Any other details that you guys noticed before we get into our favorite lines?
Details.
I mean, those are just the small, tiny things I noticed. Like, it just gave me a sense. There must have been a point where it said, just, you know, we'll use what we can. You know, kind of the same way with happening in Caddyshack.
Yeah, this one definitely feels like that. I can't think of any specific moments. I mean, you named that one. But, yeah, so yeah, it threw me off. Sorry.
I wonder if something like, you know, they're both so fantastic with improv, but you know, like they had such serious moments at the same time, you know? So you felt like it was a great moment for them. So I wonder if like there were parts of them that were like, maybe let's not dick around too much. Cause they're giving us a little bit of a serious moment. let's take this and own it while we can.
And it was so important because it was like, you know, it flowed so well that there's these moments of just pure comedic, you know, hilarity, and then these serious moments just to kind of pull you back. And like what I mentioned earlier, when they start yelling at each other and it's very serious at that moment, the next scene you just see them lying down in the dark, and then the first line is, I'm really sorry, I had no idea. No, wait, no, that wasn't it. It was the where they woke up together, I think, huddled together. And it was like a good laugh to like release that stress tension you had. It was so brilliantly written. But one of my, the favorite, I got to say scene, because it wasn't a line. Again, I mentioned this with Dutch, is that John Hughes had a great way of setting up everything. So when the payoff happened, it was just so great. And for me, it was when you had Steve Martin's character, Neil, go to get his rental car and it wasn't there, and he had to walk back to the agency, and that's where he found the same person as the secretary to the principal in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and he just drops F-bomb after F-bomb after F-bomb. What made that so great is before the scene, you didn't hear one cuss word at all. So when he starts dropping it, not only do you realize like, oh, he's at his limit that he's broken down to this point, but it's also a point in the movie like we didn't hear this at all, we didn't expect it. So for him to one after the other, and then her response had me in tears, because it worked in multiple ways, because it was such an appropriate usage of the word in this moment. And oh man, I roared and I was in tears, and I also got a secondary line. I'm just curious if you guys were going to take that, but Greg and Todd, you guys were nervous.
Like, I was nervous you were going to say what I was going to say when you said it wasn't really a line. And I was like, wait, what? Because my favorite moment, like, in same idea where it's set up for so long, when they're driving on the wrong side of the road.
Oh, yeah.
And like, there's a whole long segment that builds up what you're going to expect to happen. And you're like, oh, that's a cool payoff. Wait, what just happened? You go from like, this is what you wanted. This is what you didn't expect. Oh, it was so well done.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I guess I'm the dude who straight up picked the line, but you know what? Those are the two, like, I thought of
doing I'll a go scene. A straight line, too, but I didn't want to take it from you. Just
before,
in case,
so. Before you do it, I'll do mine.
Okay.
Mine's, if I wanted to joke, I'd follow you into the John and watch you take a leak. That's the one. I die every time.
That is great. But shortly after that scene is just as Dell's driving and just the first line, hey, I've never seen a guy picked up by his testicles before. With a smile on his face. It was just another moment that had me in tears because, I mean, you know, why is anyone going to bring that up at all? And the fact that he's smiling as well. I'm tearing up just thinking about it. Oh, man. But I got to say that in terms of a movie, I got to give it a 5. And as a comedy, I would give it a 4.5. And I'll explain why is because for me, and you'll notice I gave a 5 to Caddyshack because there was not a moment in Caddyshack where it got too serious. Mm. You know what I mean? Like some serious emotional moments. You didn't really get that in Caddyshack. And that's kind of what I want from my perfect comedies. So as a comedy, I would give it a 4.5. But as a movie itself, I would give it a 5. Especially as a holiday movie.
Yeah, I actually have to go through and through 4.5. So, yeah, it did have the serious moments. It kind of took away in a way. But, like, at the same time, I feel it was like that slingshot pulling you back to, like, launch you back into craziness. So it did, for me, I think it enhanced that comedy a bit. But hands, like, definitely 4.5 because it was just fun through and through.
I'm a 5 on this one too, but I don't know if you guys remember my rant. I did have a rant.
Yeah. I've been teasing it the whole time.
This is my rant. Okay, I'm gonna give it 5, but it came up because someone called it a holiday movie, which it 100% is. This. Okay, I'm gonna flash this on the screen, but I'm. You guys should have it right now.
Okay, I'll describe it for our audio listeners.
Well, we're just going to... Oh, thank you. That works, too. Yeah. Okay. Forgot about them.
Yeah, just in case. I haven't forgotten. They're listening to the dulcet tones of my voice. Not waiting for people like
God
that don't care about them. Jeez.
Look at this, and what the hell is wrong with this cover that Paramount's been using for... This is what... It upsets me.
Todd is very upset.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's see it. You said you're going to put it on the screen? Let's look at this. And you're saying this is a cover that they've used for...
This is what they've used for years now for this movie. What's wrong with it?
Is it a cover or a poster?
Oh, I think I agree with you.
Whoa. What?
This is
why would they do that? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let me explain. Now, even if you are watching the video and... by chance we're unable to look up this cover they're talking about, it shows John Candy and Steve Martin, which totally fine, and in the middle labels Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, but it's with snowflakes and there's gifts at the bottom. That's totally wrong, and wrapping paper. Now I mentioned at the beginning, this is a man trying to get home for Thanksgiving, and this is totally makes it look like a Christmas movie. You even have the words planes and automobiles in green and the word trains in red. That is, how long have they used this cover for? Oh,
man, this Blu-ray in particular came out in 2017, but I'm almost sure it was used before that for a DVD. But I know the Blu-ray 2017.
This is ridiculous.
For the 30th anniversary Blu-ray.
I mean, people want to give... all this grief to Die Hard about being, you know, not being a Christmas movie. And, you know, this has just been under people's nose the entire time. Ridiculous.
So. Maybe the true meaning of the story didn't come out until this. When he says, hey, we're just a few days late, maybe they were trying to get home for Thanksgiving. But what we don't know is they didn't make it.
It took them a month to get home. And Neil, Steve Martin's character, has just been hesitant about calling his wife for an entire month.
Exactly.
I'm sure that would have gone over real well. Now, yeah. Todd, you mentioned you had some tidbits about the film, one of them being spoilerish.
I think I can get away with it. Well, the people who have seen it will understand what I'm talking about, and people who haven't, I can work around it. Okay. Well, first, as most of you know, movies, they'll do an assembly cut. First cut's going to be long. First, the script was twice as long as an average script. The first cut of this came in about 3 hours, which, of course, was obviously an assembly cut was going to get cut down. The first lot cut that Hughes wanted was 2 hours. So, and this is about 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. So there's still at least 30 minutes out, but there's so much cut that was filmed. There's storylines. There's stuff that explains stuff. You get bits of jokes that are remnants of what was cut. And there's even stuff in the trailer that's not in the movie, which one is also in the messenger right now that I'll flash on the screen. And you can clearly see Steve Martin eating a piece of pizza. The pizza is referenced in the movie. Do you guys remember the pizza referenced in the movie? Okay. Mm. When they're in the first hotel and do you remember him talking about having to sleep in the wet spot of the beer, putting on a vibrating bed? Well, there's a whole scene.
I didn't think those cans were going to blow.
There's a whole scene where Steve Martin's in the shower. And Del calls and order the pizza. Pizza comes in the beer. And like Del gives him a dollar tip. So all he had was 100 pennies or something.
Uh-huh.
So the beer explodes. There's all the stuff that you get remnants of. But later, they get robbed. That is the pizza boy coming back to rob them.
Oh.
Because they got a dollar tip. So,
okay.
And then later you have the joke.
What's funny is I was trying to think, it's like, it's kind of weird that this guy picked this one room to rob.
Right.
And then what I thought of in my experience working at a hotel, you save your least desirable room till the very end. So when the guy was like, "Oh, you got the last one," I thought, well, could be in a bad spot. So I could buy that. But that would actually make a lot more sense because not everybody's worked in hotels.
And another bit that was cut completely was his wife thinks he's having an affair.
There is lightly touched on in the actual cut. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if there's some more, because especially their embrace at the end, you know,
and also
to see not much communication between the two of them, and then you're supposed to feel this emotion when they embrace at the end's kind of
the way she greets. Well, it's the way she greets Del. It's a relief. He's throughout the movie when they're talking to each other. He's like, you know, Del, and she doesn't believe him and other stuff. And there's even a joke that was, oh, make sure you don't get her panties in your something. Don't bring them home. He's like, well, actually, I dried my face with them yesterday. They were in the sink or something. So there's a bunch of stuff.
Right.
Another little bit that got cut was when they get pulled over by Michael McKean.
Right.
He tells them that they overshot Chicago by like 200 miles. So they have to go back to get to Chicago. So they actually passed it because Del wasn't paying attention.
You know, what's funny is there's one particular scene that's before that where it says, and it's a brilliant shot because you see, you know, the event of what's going on in the scene. I don't want to spoil it because I can avoid it here, but you see a sign that says Chicago 100 miles in the same shot. So it was shortly after that Michael McKean had pulled them over. And then they got a ride shortly after, and he said, "Oh, you're going to be there in 3 hours." And I was like, "They only traveled that point to that point, which would be about 20 miles because it's like 180 maybe." So it would act that actually makes a lot more sense that they overshot Oh man, that would.
All right,
I could see why they cut that though. That's
yeah,
yeah.
Here's another big one. Did you guys notice that John Candy has a black eye at a certain point to the end of the film?
No,
it's just a little bit. It's really subtle, but basically after the scene mentioned earlier in the car, and he tells him that it was his credit card on for the car rental, he punches him in the face. So, and that was cut. But another big one that I know both actors really loved it, and it was a totally different feel. After the big reveal of the film, they go to a diner and basically discuss, you know, what the whole, you know, reveal
situation
was.
Is, huh?
Yes. And he even says, like, every year I like attach to someone and like, cause I'm alone. And like,
I think I read what you're talking about here. There is actually one of these articles I have here. We can actually put it up with the description. I can send it to you.
Yeah. Do that.
Actually gives, one of these stories.
And there are stills from that one that exist. There's stills for quite a few that I've seen over the years, but I like, there's a couple other shots in the trailer. There's some lines in the trailer. There's only one deleted scene that's been released, and that's a little bit more in the airplane where like they get served dinner, and it's a really funny little scene, but it's totally not needed. So, but with all that stuff that got cut, it's amazing how good of a movie we have, even without, you know, some of those things.
100%. I couldn't get over it. I couldn't get enough of what I was getting, and it was a joy from start to finish. Any other last minute notes you want to give about this before we say goodnight or goodbye? I should say goodbye.
No, I mean, great film. I mean, mm-hmm. You got a few days to watch it before Thanksgiving. Get
a
on
few
it.
Days. Yeah, it's Monday right now, so it'll be Thursday soon. And on that note, happy Thanksgiving to ladies and gentlemen out there. Of course, be safe. And yeah, don't be obliged. Don't feel obligated to eat turkey. If you want to have spaghetti, have spaghetti. Be it whatever it is, but be happy first and foremost. And next week, we'll be back. You're going to start the Christmas run of the movies. We're going to be starting with Trading Places. I haven't seen Trading Places in over 10 years, so it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And of course, we're going to get into more Christmas movies, but we're going to focus on Trading Places, and then we'll talk about what movies we'll get on next week. So you can join us in these discussions. And of course, that's Greg Larson. That's producer Todd. I'm Ozzie V, and we'll see you next week right here on Flesh Wound Farce.